Welcome to How to Save Your Marriage with Nicola Beer, a show full of tips and practical strategies to repair, rebuild, and strengthen your relationship. If you are currently stuck wondering if your marriage can be saved, or you know you want to save it but don't know how to go about changing it, this show is for you. And now here is your host, Nicola Beer, who specializes in a proven 10-step program to help couples increase their love, passion, and happiness in their marriage in 30 days or less, guaranteed.
Hi and welcome. This is Nicola Beer on the Nicola Beer Show with your co-host, Eddie Skerritt.
It's great to be back.
Today we're going to be talking about love. Now, the reason that I've chosen love is because it can be one of those really difficult areas that couples struggle with, especially when the marriage is breaking down. I've had many women and men share with me that they no longer love their spouse. And I've also had people come to me and say that they love their spouse, but they're not in love. And what does that mean? What does it mean to love someone but not be in love, in inverted commas? And so that's really the focus of today, as well as trying to understand how important love is. Is love enough to save a relationship? And can a relationship survive if that in love feeling has gone? So I'm going to be sharing three truths about love that I've noticed from helping people save their marriage for many years. And then Eddie is also going to give his perspective on love as well. So really pleased that you're here to join us. So the first truth, and I'm going to go through them one by one and take you through them, is about love is an action, not a feeling. Many people say to me, I'm not sure I feel loving, or I'm not sure I feel love anymore towards my spouse. And then I say to them, okay, well, what actually are you doing? And what transpires is they're actually not doing anything. And that's why there is no love, because love is actions. It's not just a feeling that you wait to feel, or and especially if it goes, it's not going to come back by thinking. You know, you cannot think love. It's you have to do love. And that's why when I work with couples, I help them create more love. And so how do you create more love? You create love by doing actions. So you go out of your way to make your partner happy, whether that's by buying them a small gift that shows that you thought of them, by making an effort to, when they're coming home, to give them your undivided attention, whether that's showing them a lot of affection, being there when they need you, doing things for them that perhaps would make their day or week easier, like collecting dry cleaning or doing shopping or cooking a meal for them. We all like to be looked after. And then what I say to couples is, once you start doing those acts, then decide if there's no love. But if you're just doing nothing, then that's often when you can't feel love. Now, sometimes people link love to sexual attraction and physical attractiveness. Well, it's all connected, but again, it doesn't have to be one or the other. And so you really need to look at all aspects of the relationship and, again, do actions to improve it. The other thing that I've learned about love is that unconditional love in a marriage, in a serious relationship, is pretty much, as far as I can tell, very, very rare and hard to find. Yes, unconditional love can be between parent and child. However, between a husband and wife, you are going to be affected by the things that they do. If someone upsets you on a consistent basis, if someone betrays your trust, if someone hurts you, if their annoying habits are starting to get to you, or if you're just struggling in your own life, sometimes that unconditional love is not going to be there. It is conditional, and that's natural, and that's human nature. So sometimes people will say, well, they don't love me unconditionally, and therefore the relationship is over. I think we really need to be realistic about the love that we do have. And lastly, I think there can be an overemphasis on love. So why do people think that they, you know, need love so much and put so much emphasis on it? Because you can have a great relationship and the love that perhaps you first had, which could be confused with lust, has gone. Some couples come to me and they say, at the beginning, in the first 6 months, in the first few weeks, we were infatuated by each other. And then they find later on that the relationship's good and they're friends and they're attracted to each other still, but yet they don't have that same feeling. Well, that's sometimes because it's exciting and it's new. And that's what a lot of people also get confused of when they go and have affairs. It can be that excitement and that newness of their partner, but it's not real love. That's a temporary kind of hype. Now, I do believe that a relationship can be passionate all the way through. I don't believe that you have to, after a certain amount of time, not have any passion and not have any love. I think that you can have that in love feeling and you can keep that in love feeling. But again, it's by lots of different actions that we take. And clearly, love in a relationship where it's not working, where you're miserable, where you're at each other's throats, where you're affecting each other's personality. I mean, I believe that all relationships, you need to be made more than rather than less than. And as soon as a relationship that you're in starts making you less of a person, less of yourself, then that's wrong. So love in these situations isn't enough. It's not the be all and end all, because clearly love is not saving the relationship from you not harming each other and not hurting each other. So those are a few things that I think about love. And I'd like to hand over to you now, Eddie, and hear what you have to say about love.
Yes, Nicola, those are such very, very interesting and dynamic three steps you've got. And I wrote some little notes while you were speaking there, just thinking about each one individually. And I think the best way for me to look at this is in a response, in a sense, to these individual instances. So the first one you've got there, love is in actions and not the feeling, makes so much sense. If you think about dating, right? One of the most amazing light bulb moments I've ever had in learning about dating was that if you actually get someone to do something for you rather than doing something for them, they actually like you more, right? And why is that? Well, it's because they're putting some commitment into you. And so there's a vested interest that gets stuck in that little interaction. Of course, in love, if it's in our actions, if we're doing a lot for our partner, then we're investing emotionally. Every time we do something, even if it's a tangible action, of course we're emotionally investing, because everything we do stems from emotion. So such a key point. So true about love. Yes, if we're doing things for our partners, that's going to make us love them more. Now, in my counseling, I often run people through a three-step process. And when I first started with couples, I remember looking at them and saying, well, okay, we need to look at the past first, heal the past, then move on to the present and make our present better, because we can't do the present before we've dealt with the past, and then move on to our compelling future and looking at the future. And what I found over time is that actually, you're very right. People need to, if they want to re-fall in love with their partner, they actually need to change the logistics right now. So they need to change the way they're behaving and the things that they're doing, right? So their actions right now. And changing their actions now actually changes their beliefs through this commitment linking, that when you're doing something for your partner, you're actually committing to them. So you're falling more in love with them again. And then it leads to beliefs. And then beliefs, of course, lead on to more values and back to action. So you sort of get in a CBT cycle where your actions lead to your beliefs, which lead to your values and back to your actions again. And I found this very, very effective. Just the other day, I had a client who we were running through the model and we were struggling for breakthrough as far as falling back in love with her partner, who is still clearly very in love with her. And we were pushing on logistics and changing the logistics. Start committing and doing things for the partnership, because a relationship and love in itself, and love is really an indicator of commitment in a relationship in many ways. It's sort of like a result that you show through your actions and you reinforce through your actions, as you said. The love part of a relationship is only really one circle of overlapping circles of different elements of your relationship, whether they be logistical things, family, compelling future together, values, the way your finances fit together, all those things that fit into a relationship. And of course, love is one that overlaps with a number of other ones as well, right? So in that sense, if you can get the other stuff right in your relationship, of course, it's going to be much more attractive in an emotional sense. And it's going to allow you to open up emotionally for those special moments when you can fall back in love again and where you're actually present in the moment. So on your second point there, unconditional love is rare. And that is so true as well. Of course it's rare, right? Why? Because for relationships to be committed long term, there's got to be a cost benefit. And you sort of touched on that in this. You said that when it is conditional on factors in the relationship, then, well, those factors are benefits if they're positive, and they're costs if they're negative. And if you get out of whack with the costs and benefits, well, we already know from the three parts of commitment, which are cost benefits, positive or compelling future, and alternative partners, right? So it's one of those keys. Then of course, yes, unconditional love is very, very rare. It's very rare that someone's going to love you if there's massive costs to being in the relationship and no benefits. So for example, in that sense, imagine a partner that cheated, didn't do anything to commit to contribute to your life in any of those circles we just mentioned earlier. They didn't love you back. All those massive costs. And there's no real benefits either. They're not contributing. They're not loving you back. All that sort of stuff, right? Or so they're essentially costs and benefits at once, right? In that sense, then very difficult to be unconditional in your love. Unconditional love is really, and you did mention it, children is something where most parents will unconditionally love their children because there doesn't have to be a benefit. Your life is about passing on your genetics. That's what we're wired to do. So your children are so important, and often there's no benefits of having children, and yet we are compelled to do it, and we love them anyway, even if they're little brats sometimes. It's hilarious. But yes, so true. Unconditional love is rare, if it even exists at all, and I'm not sure if it does. True unconditional love, where there was zero benefits and massive costs, I think you would be hard pushed to find anyone that would go through that. Certainly, people will go through high costs if there's benefits and a compelling future, right? And they have no better alternative, those three keys of commitment. But I don't think they're going to do that long term or indefinitely, which would be essentially unconditional love. And your last point there, overemphasis on love. Yes, but people think love is something different to what it is, right? There is different types of love. For example, if you have an old parent who is ailing and you have to change their bedpan and bathe them and those types of things, those acts of service are a form of love, right? And of course, in our partnerships, we have these as well. We do things for our partner. My partner voraciously cooks and will not let me wash dishes. She gets quite annoyed if I wash a dish. It's quite bizarre, but that is her showing her love to me, right? And of course, I have to accept that love, otherwise it's not going to work for us. And at the same time, I do things for her, which are above and beyond all sorts of things I won't go into here to grandstand, but those things I do unconditionally as well. But that is not about the lust. And so often people confuse sexual attraction and lust with genuine love, which actually comes in a number of different forms, and you touched on that there. So yes, those three points, so important. And I'd never thought of them in those in those categorized like that, Nicola. But yes, so, so true. And that is, yeah, I couldn't agree more.
Well, yeah, I think love sometimes is blown out of perspective. So if you're feeling, I'm not sure I'm feeling like in love, I'm not sure if I can make the effort to make the relationship work, my advice to you is to get out of your head and get into action. Because I know before when I've been stuck in that place where I've just been like, I don't feel it and I don't want to say anything because I don't want to give up false hope, or and you just get stuck in your head and all you're doing is driving yourself crazy and it's not good for the relationship. So if you're feeling in yourself, oh, I'm not sure about this relationship anymore, start doing actions and see if how you feel changes. Also, it's an they will respond as well. So if you're on the receiving end and the receiving end of someone saying, I love you, but I'm not in love with you anymore, or threatening divorce or anything like this, then the key is really to get you both into action. So say, well, let's go and do something active together. Let's go and do that. Because love is not something you find, it's something you create. And this is against what we're told in all the tabloids, in all the movies. It's like, you know, that long lost journey to finding love, and then you find love and that's it. When in reality, once you find love, that is the beginning, and then you need to maintain it and create it and maintain it and create it. And it's an ongoing thing. And that's why people get such great results when they start taking action on their marriage, is because with like with anything, when you start focusing on it, when you start focusing on creating love, and focusing on each other, great things happen. The problem is in our society today is that we've become so bombarded with new things that just occupy our minds, you know, with the rise of all of the gadgets that we have now, constant entertainment, constant information from as soon as we wake up to as soon as we go to sleep, like so much bits of information being thrown at us. And yes, we're accepting that in, that we get distracted and we get distracted from the relationship. And so even when people ask, you know, leaving work on time and going home and having dinner with their partner, they're often on their phone and all night, they don't really engage. And that's what we need to watch if the relationship seems that it's breaking down, because once we get that sense of love breaking down, then communication breaks down, and that's when a couple goes into shutdown. And I also think that love is a very personal thing. You know, sometimes people will confess to me and they say, I'm not really sure I've ever been in love, because it is it's a personal thing, and how do you know and how can you compare? So really, I would say if you're thinking that the love issue is a concern in your relationship, just start doing loving acts. And loving acts can be anything, as I mentioned, from affection, giving attention, intimate conversation, and doing acts and doing things for each other. Eddie, I don't know if you have any last words on love before we wrap up today's session.
No, and I think that's very true. My last sort of takeaway would be that love is in the giving. Right? And we touched on this the whole way through. But if you're going to take one thing away and your love is falling apart from your end in your relationship, and we see it so often in marriage counseling, relationship coaching, you are the one that can take action. You can't change the way your partner feels, but certainly if you're going through the process of coaching and counseling, you need to start acting and taking logistics first. And that is what we have found. You do the logistics first and the rest will follow, because the love is often the last key element that falls into place once your relationship is familiar. Whereas it's quite the opposite at the start. The love falls into place and then you make the logistics fall in. So for example, if you're in an early relationship and someone says, honey, can you take the rubbish out? It's, of course I can take the rubbish out. I would like nothing more than to take the rubbish out. But of course, that goes away when you're familiar. And it's, honey, can you take the rubbish out? all right, I'll take the rubbish out, right? So if you can reverse the logistics around and be excited to do things for your partner, that will reinvigorate your love. It will bring you back to where you guys started. And that would be our key takeaway for today. Logistical changes first, act it first, and the love will come.
Yeah, it's brilliant. And I loved what you just said there. And it reminded me of one last thing I just want to share actually as well, is it's about if we treat our partner how we treated them at the beginning, then a lot of the issues would be resolved. So if you're treating your partner now different to how you were at the beginning, where you would do things cheerfully, where you would go out of your way to make them smile, to just spend that extra 20 minutes with them, then, you know, that's how you can get that love back. Just think about how you treated them at the beginning and look at what you were doing then to what you're doing differently now. So thanks for joining us, and we look forward to meeting you on another episode.
Pleasure, and we'll catch you next time.
And I forgot to say, if you're struggling in your marriage right now and you want to get some resources, then visit www.savemymarriageprogram.com and go on the free section. There's a tab called free, and underneath that you can get the free ebook, The 7 Secrets to Saving Your Marriage. You can get a free meditation to forgive and let go. You can get a free video, The 10 Keys to Transforming Your Marriage, which is a 40-minute step-by-step guide on how to transform your marriage and what is needed if you are suffering in your relationship and you really want to make it a great one. And then there also is the free quiz, Can My Marriage Be Saved? So go ahead and take advantage of all of these free gifts available for you at www.savemymarriageprogram.com.
Thank you for listening to How to Save Your Marriage with Nicola Beer. To book your free Save My Marriage consultation, please visit www.savemymarriageprogram.com/consult. And if you've enjoyed this episode, Nicola would really appreciate it if you could leave a rating and review on whatever app you're listening through, so the show stays visible, allowing more people to get the support they need to increase their love, passion, and happiness.